As I stated earlier, at the close of another day, God has blessed us to be able to assemble together and worship Him in spirit and truth. I appreciate the good job that Alex did in reading the scripture reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, or chapter 2 rather, in verse 4, where we are admonished to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Of course, Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, encouraging him to do the work of an evangelist. And he tells me in verse 3 of that text, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, there are some things that go along with being a soldier in the Lord's army. You probably thought about most of these, but I want us to think about being a soldier in the Lord's army. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." There are things that go along with that. When we think about faithfulness and we think about serving God, there's a lot that goes along with that. We've got the book of books that instructs us perfectly on how to do the things that God would have us to do and what God expects of us. But it's our duty in serving God to do it the way that God would have it to be done. You agree with that? You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to think about that. He's given us the things that pertain to life and godliness. And when we want to know what it means to be a soldier of Jesus Christ and to serve Him, then we need to pick up the book of books and open it up and follow it. And so, if we're going to be a soldier in the Lord's army, then that necessitates that we take up our cross and follow Him all the days of our lives. But then I get to thinking about those marching orders. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the question is, who goes to a warfare at his own charges? Of course, in the context of that, he's talking about the preacher's right to support. We're not doing things in service to God according to our own directive. But we've got our marching orders from the Lord in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, beginning when the Lord said that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. The Lord has instructed us to go. It's sad, isn't it, at the times that sometimes we look for reasons why we don't need to go. How I can do little, as little, that it might take to get by with. God has said to go. And if I'm going to be a soldier in the Lord's army, if I'm going to be a preacher or a Christian in the Lord's army, then I'm going to have to go at the Lord's bidding and do the things that God would have me to do. And take that seriously. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this individually in your own minds. How serious do you take it when it comes to serving God? You take that seriously? We need to. God has said to go. We have our marching orders. I think about soldiers in our military today and the orders that they give. You know that they are one place to the next as their orders tell them to go. A lot of those young ones that get out of boot camp, they come home and sometimes they are put on recruiter's assistance until they get further orders. And they might spend a half a month or 30 days or a little bit longer, maybe 2-3 months, doing that type of work until they get other orders that say, this is what you need to do, this is where you need to go. This is when you need to be there. God has told us what to do. I want you to think about that. Being a soldier in the Lord's army, we've got our marching orders from the Lord. And He says to go and to teach the gospel to all of the world. I think about the apostles in the book of Acts. When the Bible says, ye have intended to bring this man's blood upon us, or these are the men that have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. Now, I don't know to what extent we've filled London with the doctrine of Christ, but I know that we're trying. Collectively, the work that we have going on, we need to keep doing that. We need to not settle until every individual has heard about the Lord's church. That's a tall order. But we need to do that and to take it seriously. But then when we think about being a soldier in the Lord's army, not only does that involve being a soldier and following the Lord and receiving marching orders, but I want you to think about our warfare. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Sometimes we take our eye off of the warfare and off the goal even. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now notice Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 12. As we think about what we fight in this battle, sometimes we may sing a hymn, the battle belongs to the Lord. Have you heard that before? In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This battle is not one of flesh and blood and so forth. But he lays out there what it is, against principalities, against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And not only do we have our marching orders, we need to think about that warfare that comes along with it. It does us no good to go marching off into battle if we didn't have some protection, would it? And so when you come back with me to Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about that. We've had lessons done on that. If you stay in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not part of it. You see, if you take part of it, you're going to leave some areas exposed. That'll make you vulnerable. Again, think about those soldiers and all the gear. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. A lot of time that they spend in their gear. Put those rucksacks on it. Put on all that gear that goes along with it so they can get used to carrying that. So when it comes time, if God forbid, that they have to go marching off into battle, it's not the first time that they've donned on that equipment. Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Have you put on the whole armor of God? I want you to think about that. Or do we just rush off and not give any thought to these things? Ill prepared for the battle. Again, that'll make us vulnerable. We need not expect to exceed and to be victorious if we're not going to take the time to put on the whole armor of God. But you know, I want you to think about this. Suppose a soldier put on all that armor, but then they didn't have a weapon. Would you want to go marching off to war with the best of armor, but no weapon? Think about that. We've got to have a weapon, and the Bible talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 4, as well as the passage we just looked at, where he talked about the shield of faith and so forth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As Paul is writing to these Christians, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strong holds. Again, when you go back to Ephesians chapter 6, he identifies that our weapon, our sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. We think about Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is sharp, quick, or powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Some of you have a military background. You know how Much time is spent in weaponry qualifications. Think about that. It do you no good to have the best of weapons. Suppose that someone gave you a weapon and said, here, you go to the battle. Here's your weapon, and you know nothing about it. You know, as we think about being a soldier of the Lord, sometimes we think, well, I understand that this word is the sword of the Spirit. And it's sharp. A lot can be accomplished by it. And then I get little time to being familiar with that weapon. How effective do you think you're going to be? How much time do you spend preparing yourself to be able to use this word? A lot of it's trial and error. You enter into a study with someone and maybe they present a situation to you you're never considered. You got to go study about that. Whatever the case may be. Spend time with God's word. But then I think about being a soldier in the army of the Lord and I think about fidelity. The Bible has a lot to say about that. You know, the great motto of the Marine Corps is Semper Fidelis. Semper Fi for short. That means always faithful. That's what that means. So you hear Marines going about their business saying Semper Fi. That's what it means next time you hear that. Always faithful. The Bible has a lot to say about faithfulness to God. We talked about this morning, Revelation 2:10. You ought to know that and be able to quote that and be familiar with that like the back of your hand. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, that he which shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Endurance, fidelity, faithfulness to God. We talked about this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We'll not repeat that again. You know, we need to be able to say to God, I will always be faithful. It's a good motto to have, always faithful. At least strive to do that. And then I think about this battle of being a soldier in the Lord's army. I think about being victorious. And I suggest to you that we're not on a losing side. Are we? Or does the devil have you convinced that you're on the losing side, though you're on the Lord's side? Don't let him deceive you into that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible talks about this is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Sometimes we start out on the Lord's side, we obey the gospel of Christ, and then we get off the Lord's side and go back out into the ways of the world. Folks, when we do, we trade a place on the winning side for a place on the losing side. I want you to think about those things, being a soldier, our marching orders, our weaponry, our warfare, our armor, our fidelity with God, and then our victory to those that will endure to the end. Maybe you haven't even started in your service to the Lord this evening. You have an opportunity to do that. You don't have to please me. It's not about pleasing someone else. It's not about if I give in and I walk up the aisle, then they won. They convince me. I've given it. It's not about that. It's about doing what God would have you to do so that you can go to heaven when life is over. It's between you and God. And you need to obey Him to please Him so that heaven will be your eternal home. There's only one way to do that. I tell you that every sermon. But I do that to remind you, but more importantly, because though we may have someone in our audience who's never done that, you need to know how to become a child of God through hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus is God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, to rise to walk in newness of life, as we've studied and stated so many times before. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord, drifted away. Why not repent of those things, make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, we bid you.